Welcome to Awakening Spirituality and Business Today, inspiring you to succeed with all your heart and soul. Your hosts today are Daniel Gutierrez, international business consultant, motivational speaker, and best-selling author, and Johnny Hernandez, proven business executive, passionate life and business coach, and founder of Living with Purpose, whose mission is to inspire teams and individuals to achieve their personal and professional best. Together, they'll light the path to help you achieve your absolute best. Without further ado, let's turn it over to Daniel and Johnny for today's illuminating discussion.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome back to our show. I'm so excited. This is my first time back in quite a while, and as you can probably tell, I'm a little bit under the weather, so I do apologize for coughing right before the show started. I forget to hit that mute button. I'm here with my co-host, Johnny Hernandez. Johnny, how you doing?
I am fantastic, Daniel. Welcome back, my friend. It's good to hear your voice again.
Yeah, I'm glad to be back. You know, we're almost wrapping it up, these 15 diseases of leadership, according to Pope Francis. I mean, I continually am seeing more and more quotes from Pope Francis, and I'm always just blown away by his ability to be human in the position that he's in. And I want to read something to you that I saw just recently that I thought was very important, and then we'll get to the topic at hand today. This is a quote from the Pope. It is not necessary to believe in God to be a good person. In a way that the traditional notion of God is outdated. One can be spiritual but not religious. It is not necessary to go to church and give money. For many, nature can be church. Some of the best people in history did not believe in God, while some of the worst deeds were done in his name. What do you think about that, Johnny? Isn't that powerful? I mean,
I think it's amazing. I saw that. Someone forwarded me that image with that saying just this last week, Daniel, and I saw it and I thought, wow. Again, it's more validation, and of course, it'll do a couple things, right? I may be a very devout Catholic, but I'm also a huge believer that if you do the right thing because it's the right thing to do, you know, you love, you forgive, you pardon, you do all of those things, that you know, religious convictions, quite frankly, don't make any difference whatsoever. So when I read that, I thought, what? I mean, in a very literal sense, he came right out and said exactly that. So I'm just completely blown away and impressed, not just by, you know, his responsibilities as a pontiff, but as a leader of, as one of the most significant and far-reaching leaders in the world. I mean, it was wonderful to see that.
Well, it's powerful. I had the pleasure this last week to deliver a message to thousands of corporate executives and professionals at the Association of Latino Professionals in Finance and Accounting in New York City. And I talked about spirituality through mindfulness, mindful walking, mindful meditation. And the interesting thing, Johnny, is that when I got done with my presentation and I was out in the foyer, people, many of them came up and said, but you never said that you believed in God. You never said that you were religious. You never said all these different things that kind of came up. And this is why I read this particular quote, and I said to them, I said, I didn't say I didn't believe in him. I just said that part of us getting where we want to go, part of us accepting our humanness is recognizing that connection between ourselves and that entity, whether we call it God or not, that exists. And there's many ways to make this happen, which is why it took me a while, Johnny, I'll be honest with you, looking at it, to really kind of digest what he was trying to say there, because you know there's some people up in arms going, what are you talking about? And so, you know, today we're on the 13th disease of leadership, according to Pope Francis, and that is the disease of hoarding. Now, the reason why Johnny and I are tackling all this is because there's so many things that ail us as leaders or individuals in our world today. And today they're talking about a leader who tries to fill his or her void or her heart by accumulating material goods. not out of the need, but only at the order of severe secure. And we all know that there are people out there that and this could be hoarding or collecting people. You know, there's so many ways to look at this particular disease that he's talking about, because we get into this competition with the Joneses about having a bigger house or having more. I guess I've heard it said before, he or she with the most toys wins, which is, I think, part of this whole hoarding idea, that somehow all of these things that we accumulate is going to fill the hole in our hearts. It's going to fulfill us. And that is furthest from the truth. Today's studies are showing, Johnny, that 83% of the marketplace is absolutely unhappy at work. 83! That's a big number. That is a huge number. And I think that hoarding becomes a problem when we begin to use it to fill a hole in our heart rather than really beginning to take a look at who we are. So what's your take on this? It's a very interesting topic. Folks, and by the way, before he starts, if you want to jump in, call us at 347-677-1965. We'd love to hear from you. It's been a while since we've had a caller. I'd love to hear from somebody. What do you think about that, Johnny?
You know, I think you are absolutely correct. It's fascinating. And I think if there was ever a study done, or if there has been, I haven't seen it or it hasn't been passed on to me yet. If there was ever a study that did the correlation between the number of toys and tangible things one person had in their life and the correlation with happiness, I think that would be very interesting to see. And if people were honest with themselves, and I'm painting with a broad brush here, so by all means I'm not intending to offend anyone, but I think what you will find are those folks who aspire for all the wealth, all the riches, and in some cases make calculated decisions to work the extra long hours or take on that next promotion or two or three promotions in the pursuit of title or financial gain, and give up in return time with the children, time with the spouse, time in personal development, social, emotional, spiritual development. Those are the folks that are that tend to be the unhappiest, because those tangible things, they don't fill the voids. And it's interesting, especially nowadays, and you know, we talk about the millennials, and to shift it from a moment, if you talk about folks, let's just say Daniel from our generation, albeit we're still very young men, you think about some of the decisions we're making today, right? So think about the conversation you and I had the last time we went for a walk. And the simplicity of, you know, in your case, talking about, I'm thinking about getting rid of my place, getting rid of all the things I have, and just living on a small boat. Not an aggressive, not a fancy yacht, not any of that stuff, folks, that you see on, you know, How to Live Like a Gazillionaire.
Not Oprah's yacht.
It was just a
$200 million yacht.
Right, but to live very simple and really not necessarily a minimalist lifestyle. I'm not saying to that extreme. But it's no different than, you know, what my wonderful wife, Doreen, and I are doing. You know, as the kids get older, you're saying, do I really need this big house? Do I need the big lawn and all the maintenance that goes with it? Or when do things begin to shift and be less about stuff and more about, you know, it goes back to the language we use. It's leading with the heart versus the head. And that takes time. And I believe, this is from my perspective. You know, people always say, if I knew then what I know now, things would be different. I don't buy into that. I believe that we are meant to go out there and stumble and fall, make all the mistakes that we do at 18 and 20 and 20 or 30, because that's what develops and grows into the human beings we are today. And it's through that insight and wisdom, and you know, and the smartest people on the planet tend to be living in nursing homes today. It's through those experiences that we finally come to the realization that all the motorcycles, all the cars, all the boats, all the fancy homes and vacation homes, that's not what it's about. And it's sad to say that some people don't realize until it's too late. Now, are there folks out there that have just an amazing balance, who are incredibly wealthy, who have all sorts of fun toys, have a wonderful relationship with their family, their children, those around them, and do great philanthropic work? Of course there is. So those are not the folks I'm speaking to. But going back to the case of hoarding, we believe, I think when we're, like any of us, when you're young and upcoming, that the title, that the money, and ultimately the ego, all of that goes with it. And what we don't realize is the longer we spend time in that space, the more that we lose what truly resides deep in our heart, that those gifts that were given to us before, you know, we were miraculously came to be on this planet. So it's fascinating. And I think, you know, the more time you spend in it and the more folks you're exposed to, you think about the folks, Daniel, that you and I exclusively coach in terms of business and life counseling.
Right.
And it's the same thing. I mean, that's one thing you see consistent. I mean, would you agree? I mean, obviously, you and I don't talk about our clients necessarily, but I mean, I can tell you from my aspect, it's consistent.
Well, I think, you know, people have this illusion, because I think we're taught even as children to want more.
Yeah.
And so we begin the act of accumulating stuff. There was a study done, and I'm not sure if it was Yale or Harvard, but it was one of the two, that interviewed 10 or 20 of the most successful people on their deathbed. With the exception of one or two, they asked the question, if you could have more of what would it be? And all of them, with the exception of two, said time. Time for family, time to enjoy life, time to – not money. Not more yachts, not more planes, not more suits or shoes or purses or whatever. More time to spend with our loved ones. And you know, we live in a society that advocates working ourselves to the bone, and it's backwards. It really is backwards. And I think that we're seeing a trend in moving that because of the trend in corporate America right now toward mindfulness. Mindfulness meaning taking a moment and being present, and that could be done through a lot of modalities like yoga, meditation, all these different things. As a matter of fact, while I was doing my presentation in New York, I had everybody do what a good friend of mine, Purgito Dove, invented, a laughing meditation, and I had them all do the laughing meditation, and then, you know, that's a minute of laughing hysterically and then a minute of silence, so that they were able to release the tension and the energy around their day. And it's amazing what that does to one's body. And speaking of body, you know, Johnny, you know, I've never talked about this, but a year ago, I was borderline getting high cholesterol levels, you know, and so they were very concerned. I had issues with possible issues with my liver. And all these things were happening to my body because I was stressed out. You know, I was doing things in my body that, you know, eating wrong, everything that I was doing. Well, I'm happy to say that I had a extremely thorough blood test done recently of just about anything they could test on. And my doctor was surprised that it came back all good. She goes, it's actually even better than good. And she says, what do you think? I mean, you just told me you eat a donut a day and you don't have high cholesterol. I said, I was telling you the truth. I love my donuts. You know I love my donuts. So I love, you know, but what she said was, is that whatever you're doing is working. And I have to attribute that a lot to slowing down, not being so concerned about what, you know, whether I'm wearing the right clothes or driving the right car or any of these things. And really spending time in mindful meditation to bring myself present into the present world, present into the today, present into the now. And I think that a lot of that has to do with, you know, the fact that my tests were so positive, you know, all the way from my heart, you know, every organ was tested. I mean, I'll be honest with you, I was actually floored myself, but I can't say that at one time I was not that hoarding person. And remember I said earlier that you can hoard relationships, you can hoard people. You know, just to say, I know so-and-so. Well, who cares? At the end of the day, it boils down to what I think we're all searching, some sort of peace and tranquility and happiness in our lives that will bring some meaning other than what we've been told is the way to happiness, which is through the pursuit of money only. So it's very interesting.
You know what? You just said something, Daniel, that I think that so many of us miss is the hoarding of people.
Mm-hmm.
And we are very clear in this business. So for those of you who've never worked outside of the corporate environment and are entrepreneurs and some of your work's done through database gathering, it's fascinating because I didn't realize it till I got into this space. How much of it really is about, you know, not necessarily relationships, but going out and gathering, you know, other folks' information, adding them to your mailing list, so forth and so on, right? And some in a very ethical and above board way, and in some cases not so ethical and above board way. But what I find so fascinating that no matter what environment I've worked in, no matter what circles, whether they're social or whether they're professional, is how people use, and again, not relationships, but how people use their community of or their network to their benefit, and when it's appropriate in so many cases for them to share them with them for your benefit, then it gets much easier.
Mm-hmm.
And versus some folks, you know, that you have a relationship with, and they mean it when they say, my friends are your friends, and
right.
Here's full access, who can I introduce you to, ... And versus the, you know, sometimes it's a competition. I mean, think of LinkedIn. You know, how often do you get requests from folks on LinkedIn that you have no idea who they are? And about the time someone calls you and says, hey, I see your connect to Billy Joe Bob. Could you maybe put in a good word for me? And you, when I look at my LinkedIn, it's like, I have no idea who Billy Joe Bob is, but I'm connected to him on LinkedIn. You see
right.
what I mean? So it literally is, it's almost like a competition, whether it's Facebook circles, whether it's LinkedIn circles or whatever. Now, I'm not saying, I mean, if I have someone in my LinkedIn that I don't know and someone asks me for a reference, the first thing I'll do is, if I'm the one responsible for my own LinkedIn, I'm going to pick up the phone and try to do an introduction and try to somehow benefit this other person. But
right.
when you take these relationships and you hoard, you know, folks within your network just for the sake of posturing and making yourself look more important, that's just as bad. And quite frankly, worse than so much of this material things, because the whole precipice of us being on the earth, like I said before, it's about loving and caring and giving to each other. And the more we can do that, especially in an environment today where everything is social. Everything is social. Everything's online. My daughter actually was visiting me today, my 26-year-old daughter. And we're getting ready for my youngest daughter's wedding a week from Saturday. And so we were talking about the wedding stuff. And she's sitting there she's eating her sandwich, and the entire time she's on her smartphone. And I said, sweetheart, I said, you sure spend a lot of time on that phone, don't you? She looked at me dead in the eye, and she says, you dad? She says, yeah. She says, you do too, dad. And I looked at her and thought, oh, my gosh. She's absolutely right. And you think of these dependencies in people. So I think that you just hit a nerve there with me when you talked about, you know, people hoard people as much as they do things. And quite often it's just for credibility or posturing purposes, and that's fascinating to me. I don't think I've ever thought of it that way, Daniel.
Yeah, and you know, at the end of the day, folks, when we think about hoarding, we could take it to another level. Any kind of hoarding of any kind, food, relationships, toys, and I mean adult toys like cars and boats and planes and if there's nothing wrong with, I think, collecting stuff. Somebody might say, well, I'm a collector. Well, okay, I'll buy that as long as whatever you're collecting doesn't become your God. That includes money. You
right.
know, people laugh about that
right.
whole idea, well, money is the root of all evil. No, you read it wrong. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. So the love of anything
right.
that is excessive is not good for you. Now, the only thing I could possibly think of is if you had a love for your God and a love for your family and a love for your loved ones that is not obsessive but yet at the same time healthy in the way that you go about it, then that's okay. I think that, hey, knock yourself out. But at any time, even, you know, we were talking about coaching people. At the end of the day, if you love someone to the detriment of your own happiness, that's not good. Right? at the end of the day, if it's a detriment to you. So looking at this particular disease and thinking about the big picture, I think people are looking for happiness. I think they're looking for peace and tranquility. And you know what, Johnny, you were right. When we're in our 20s, we don't see it. We're in our 30s, we begin to see it. We're in our 40s, we're starting now to realize that, you know, chasing all the stuff wasn't worth it. And when you get into your 50s, and I'm sure moving up, you begin to realize that happiness is not, but that's cyclical. I agree with you. We're supposed to go through it. How the hell are we supposed to know if we don't go through it? We won't. We'll just listen to people and go, yeah. Kind of like, you know, you saying to your daughter, you're on the phone a lot. Well, so are you. You know, I think about my son. I say, well, you're on the phone a lot. Well, Dad, put your phone down first. It's kind of like drawing guns in the Old West. I'll put mine down if you put yours down.
Right.
You know.
It's just crazy that as time unfolds, I mean, and you mentioned it. I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, collecting certain things for hobbies and so forth and so on. And it's not an indictment on anyone who's wealthy and has all sorts of cool stuff. That's not it at all. I think for me, the reality check is what you have to ask yourself. And you don't have to go to the extreme and say, if I were to pass away tomorrow and on my deathbed, that one certainly sobers you up pretty quick if you do that. But I think if you stop and you say, in proportion to what really in my heart, when you're alone in your own head, what really matters most to me in life, how much of my time, how much of my life and my time am I spending doing that? And if you're in a relationship, if you have children, if you are a child, which we all are, and you're blessed to have your parents alive and all of those things, say, you know, how am I doing in my role as, and one of the exercises I've always enjoyed, Daniel, I'll share it because I know we're going to run out of time here this afternoon, but one of the exercises I've always enjoyed is I take index cards, and I've done this in several workshops, and on the top I wrote my role as a, and I would list my role as a father, a brother, a son, a leader, and I would just do a handful of them, right? You could go on and on and on because when you talk about your roles, but I would list those roles that actually really mattered most to me. And what do I want to be known for in my role as a father? And then I would list those. So you could say that you could transfer that into some type of eulogy exercise or something. But if, what do I want to be known for my role as a father? And what do I want my parents to say to me about my role as their son? And I would list those things out. And what you really have to do is you have to, for a moment, stop and digest and say, what really matters most? And whatever exercise you do. And if in the end you find that you're spending a disproportionate amount of time doing things other than that, and people will say, well, I can't afford to change jobs because I've got a house that costs this, 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 this. Okay, in a very literal sense, I get that, right? But what I would challenge you also is don't make excuses, because that's what we all do. Because of the fear of change and the fear of going out and doing something potentially different, it takes a lot of courage. But if you're not spending the time doing the things that matter most to you today, I can assure you it will just get worse, because the longer you continue down that road, I can tell you from my own personal experiences, the more difficult it gets to change that habit. And I think today was a great topic. I just love this whole series about the Pope, and I'm looking forward to see what we tackle next, Daniel.
I hope we have something.
You know?
I think that one of the things I was thinking about is possibly taking on that whole idea of mindfulness in the workplace. What does that look like? How do we do it? I know that again, being a very timely topic in a world, and folks, by the way, I don't think it's the 40s and 50s folks that are making this happen. It's the millennials that are making it happen, because they're already out there doing yoga. As a matter of fact, I think I'm taking my first Pilates class this weekend, not because I want to, Johnny, but because my doctor is telling me that I need the exercise for my knee. And so I don't even know what Pilates means. But she says if you do it twice a week, you're going to find yourself in such a different place. And so I said, okay, you know, let's do this. So maybe the next, after our series here, we still have next week, folks, we're going to be discussing the disease of closed circles. And that's about clicks. Johnny, what was the name? And I'm going to age myself here. There was a song. Oh, Rumors. It was called Rumors. Remember that song? You're a big music buff.
Mm-hmm.
Rumors,
mm-hmm.
talking about mm-hmm. people and how it hurts people.
Yeah.
It's a powerful song, but that's what next week is about is, you know, belonging to cliques becomes more powerful than our shared identity, who I am as an individual versus who I am in a group. And sometimes people get lost in the identity of their own company brand. And one of the things that I used to talk about, Johnny, when I first came out of corporate was, and I loved working for Best Buy, one of the best companies in the world. I just adored that company. And, you know, even to the point where someone said, if we cut your head open, little Best Buys are going to go everywhere. And the truth is that what I really quickly realized was, and this is something you've been really good at, Johnny, and the reason why I think you're very successful is because if you took Best Buy out of Johnny because it was just an employment thing, Johnny's still a great guy. Johnny still loves people. Johnny still treats people well. Johnny still gives. That's just who Johnny is. Unfortunately, what some people do is they identify themselves with the company they work for, and they don't treat people well because they have a high-level position, and they don't do the right thing. And what ends up happening is that when they're no longer there, neither are the people there to support them. And that's, you know, that is something very important that we need to discuss, and we will next week as we discuss that 14th disease, which is the disease of closed circle. So it's going to be a fun topic. Anything else, Johnny, before we leave?
I think it's awesome. Daniel, it's great to have you back. I'm looking forward
to
next week. I think this week was a great dialogue. We love hearing from our friends out there. So whether it's Twitter, Facebook, email, you name it, get in touch with us because the feedback, good, bad, or indifferent, really helps us shape where the show goes. So have a great week, and God bless. Thanks again, Daniel.
All right, folks.
You've been listening to Awakening Spirituality in Business Today with Daniel Gutierrez and Johnny Hernandez. To provide feedback, listen to more episodes, or learn how Daniel and Johnny can help you in your business, visit their websites at livingwithpurpose.today or danielgutierrez.com. You can also call them directly at 1-805-764-1463. Thank you again for listening. The personal fulfillment and professional success you've been searching for is within your reach. Lead with your heart and live a life of purpose today.